This is Olympic champion Scott Hamilton. Yes, the real Scott Hamilton. And you're listening to the other Scott Hamilton show, where you should be entertained, informed, and maybe even amused. Just don't expect any backflips. I mean, have you seen him skate?
Welcome back. Yeah, I like the little Almond Joys.
Oh, yeah. The smaller ones, not the bigger ones.
That's the bigger ones. I don't get enough, like, well, I don't, like, I've done it, but no fireballs. I mean, anytime I got a fireball when I trick-or-treated, it was awesome. I got excited. But the gumballs, man.
Ooh. Just a classic gumball.
Yeah, but every now and then you get, I think it'd be a gumball and it'd be like a jawbreaker, then I would just jack up my teeth.
Yeah. Problem.
Yeah. You know we have teeth where I'm from.
Do you?
Yeah, but we invented the toothbrush.
Is that right?
Anywhere else it'd be a teeth brush. West Virginia, man. Making a regular appearance on the Say Tama Hotline, it's Lauren Brownlove, WRL sports fan in Raleigh. Lauren, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Lauren, quick, your Mount Rushmore of trick-or-treat candy.
Probably starts and ends with Reese's. I could eat Reese's all day, every day. I also like M&M's, peanut M&M's and stuff like that. I don't do as well. Like, I will eat the sweet stuff, but honestly, the more pure chocolate and or peanut butter I can get, the better. I really can eat some of the rest of it, take or leave it, like a Jolly Rancher, Starburst, Skittles, whatever. Fine. I want the chocolate stuff.
I agree with you on that. I think the Twix bar is unassailable. It's greatness. But what about when you say Reese's, though? Did you ever eat or have you ever eaten the reverse Reese's? Have you ever seen those?
No.
Oh, they're
intrigued.
They're delicious. Yes, they're delicious. It's literally a peanut butter cup with chocolate in it.
Oh, yes. I like this.
And it gets better. And there's a nutty version. And these are like the big single ones. So they're really good. They're like $4, though. I mean, it's ridiculous. You go to a Sheetz. And I'll come out of there with like a Coke Zero. You can tell I'm a healthy person. I'll come out of there with a Coke Zero and one of these things, and I've dropped like $6.
I kind of like the ones that have like the Reese's Pieces inside. Ooh. That I feel like some genius made up that. It almost feels too good for this world. It's like I feel like I'm eating too many good things at the same time. It feels greedy.
We're chatting with Lauren Brownlow, WRAL sports fan, Raleigh, North Carolina. Follow her on Twitter at Ellie Brownlow. And Lauren, normally I bring you on to talk about football. We end up veering off into candy and stuff, and I dig it. I'm cool with it. And there'll come a point when we talk about basketball because that's what the ACC does. But right now I want to just ask you a couple questions about something business-related. Or maybe not business-related, but maybe cultural, perhaps, is the best way to describe this. ACC perhaps moving its headquarters from its ancestral home in Greensboro, North Carolina. What's your take on that, and what are you hearing?
I mean, it makes sense. I think everybody kind of thought this was going to happen at some point. Most of us have assumed that it would be Charlotte. And when they released their list of criteria that they gave to their, you know, quote-unquote consulting firms, it seemed pretty clear that there were not a whole lot of cities that fit that bill other than Charlotte. I mean, there are others potentially, but, I mean, that seems like the most logical fit, especially if you want to have, you know, be near sort of the studio spaces and whatever. You know, there's ESPN studio in Charlotte, so they've already had media days there. Like that's just, it seems like the natural move to make. But I really did go into the wrong profession. Like I should have gone into consulting because they could have just paid me like, you know, $20,000, and I would have been like, Charlotte, give me my $20,000, and they would have been like, okay, and they could have saved some money. That's all I'm saying.
It's like a search firm for a coach, man. It's just a big cash grab. It's a money grab.
It's unreal, right? Like, the search firm, at least I know that they have, like, they have some connections, they talk to agents, they do some work, they give schools a way to, like, reach out to coaches without, you know, having to go directly to them. But at the same time, like, the consulting firms, like, I think the ACC hired, like, a bunch of them to do the new font a few years ago, and I just remember being like, are you kidding me? Like, what? I really got into the wrong line of work here. But, yeah, I mean, it's not a huge surprise. I don't think it's you know, I mean, I think it was kind of inevitable at a certain point. I think most people more or less have kind of come to grips with this being the reality and the ACC kind of moving up to the big leagues here, so to speak. And that doesn't mean they'll stop doing things in Greensboro completely, although I do think over time that gets phased out too. But, yeah, I mean, it was going to happen at some point. It's just a matter of when, not if.
How much of this, and I want to see if you agree or disagree, I'm of the mind that a good part of this process began under John Swofford. He just didn't want to be saddled with being the guy who had the ACC ripped out of Greensboro, and instead he silently started the process and then passed it off to his predecessor, so he looks like his hands are clean in this.
Yeah, maybe. I think he certainly is like me and sort of, yes, me and John Swofford, very similar. But I think he's like me in that he understands the reality of the situation. Like, but I also think that considering, you know, Swofford is Greensboro, you know, lives in Greensboro, I don't know that he would have wanted to move it before he retired anyway. So I think he kind of, you know, I'm sure that he helped them work towards this future that was kind of inevitable in some way. But I think he also probably figured, yeah, the next guy can handle this. I'm not commuting to Charlotte from Greensboro. Like, that sounds like a nightmare. So then he's like, I'll just do it after I retire, or let somebody else do it. And I think that's kind of what's happening. Had he stayed around longer, who knows, maybe they move sooner or whatever. But I think that, you know, it's just a matter of time.
You know, whether you love John Swofford or hate John Swofford, one thing is undeniable, and it's his love of the ACC and his love of tradition while also being a forward-thinking guy. Yeah. I'm wondering, during the vetting process for finding a new commissioner, for choosing Jim Phillips ultimately, how much this played into it. What was his vision for relocating the headquarters and setting up shop somewhere else? I'm wondering how big that factored into him being decided to be the new commissioner.
Yeah, I'm sure that played at least a little bit of a role, but I think, you know, I think that the ACC has changed enough that I doubt that there's going to be a ton of pushback when it comes to things like, you know, having the ACC tournament in more places and things like that. I don't know that you're going to get a ton of pushback from a lot of the schools when it comes to that, even some of the more quote-unquote traditional schools, because I think they sort of understand the reality of the college athletics world that we're living in right now. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure that he would have ideally liked to have moved the league off, especially when you try to use, and I'm a Greensboro native, so I can say this, but the Greensboro airport is certainly not ideal for a place that you want to have your league office. So, although I don't remember who made the joke, but no, the league office is not in someone's basement. Like, come on, people. Greensboro is like an actual city. It really is. Like, I know that we like to make these jokes. Is it the biggest city? No, but it's still like an actual city. It has a downtown and everything. I lived there my whole life.
Well, you know, when you compare it to Birmingham, I don't see a lot of differences. I've been to both, and Birmingham might be slightly larger, but only because...
Yeah, it's so sorry that we can't, like, I think it was Paul Feinbaum that said that. That's who it was. It was Feinbaum that said that it would get the ACC out of someone's basement. I'm like, I'm sorry. You're like, essentially the face of a league that, you know, that, like, and you're, like, a bald older man, and then also y'all have a league office in Birmingham. Like, I'm sorry, I missed where that was the metropolitan, like, wonder of the world right now.
I think maybe Greensboro just seems so quaint and so small because it's juxtaposed against a Charlotte, against a Raleigh, while Birmingham is juxtaposed against a Montgomery.
Yeah, well, there's probably some truth to that too. And, you know, it's probably kind of like this state in the sense that, like, you can't actually have your headquarters in the city of one of your schools unless that's a big city. So, you know, I mean, they could put the SEC headquarters in Tuscaloosa. I don't know who says no to that.
We're joined by Lauren Brownlow, WRAL sports fan in Raleigh. Follow her on Twitter at Ellie Brownlow. Lauren, now that we've talked about this, I want to actually discuss a little football for a couple of minutes. And something has become clear to me, and I want to get your opinion. Maybe you're biased, maybe you're not. I am of the mind that the ACC has perhaps the best trio of quarterbacks in the country. Agree or disagree?
Interesting. I think that it's definitely up there. Yeah. I mean, it's hard, you know, when you look around and you look at sort of who the Heisman contenders are and who's performing really well, I think you have guys in other leagues. But like you said, yeah, I think that's a good point. The ACC certainly has had guys playing better. It's not always the guys we expected them to be, which also makes it interesting, right? You know, I mean, De'Aaron King gets hurt and he's not playing anymore. And, you know, Sam Howell has been good still. Like, that's the thing about Sam. I think a lot of people assume that, you know, Sam has been playing terrible. And his stats are still pretty good. The offensive stats are still pretty good. But, you know, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you look at Brennan Armstrong, I think second in the country in passing passing yards per game. You've obviously got Sam Hartman, Kenny Pickett right there. I mean, if you throw Sam Howell with an asterisk into the mix, right? You know, it's a pretty solid quartet even of quarterbacks, right? So, I mean, Sam's 20th in the country in passing yards per game. Like, that's no slouch, right? So, yeah, I mean, you know, obviously you've got guys in other places playing well. But at the same time, I think that the quarterbacks in this league are probably playing as well as anybody.
And I'm going to end our time together with this thought, the third best quarterback in the SEC. And I'm an SEC guy, but I'm going to say this. You've got Matt Corral, number one, Bryce Young, number two. I'm going to say Hendon Hooker, number three, former ACC guy,
huge.
Tennessee.
And you know what? I feel validated by the way Hendon is playing, because I felt like it was absolutely insane for them to be the one that, like, Hendon Hooker is the one they let go. From all indications, it seemed like they liked Braxton Burmeister a little bit better at Virginia Tech, and I didn't really see that. You know, I was like, well, maybe there's something I'm not seeing behind the scenes or whatever. I thought Hendon Hooker was a big-time difference maker, honestly. And I thought he was more accurate than Braxton, and while still being a running threat as well. I thought he was really special. And obviously they disagreed, and he ended up transferring, and he's balling out. He's playing amazing. And I like I said, I feel validated. I'm not right very often, so I have to cling hard to those times that I am.
And I'm a print guy at heart, but I've adapted to the radio world, and I'm going to send us out by coming full circle. Hendon Hooker, hometown is? Greensboro, North Carolina.
Oh, gosh, what is it? I don't know.
Greensboro, North Carolina.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, that is right. He is a North Carolinian, yeah, because I assumed he would just torch all the North Carolina teams he played against, which, you know, kind of.
All right, go get some Reese cups. She's Lauren Brownlow of WRAL Sports Fan. You can follow her on Twitter at Ellie Brownlow. Lauren, as always, it's been a pleasure.
All right, thanks for having me.
Thank you. She's fantastic, Trent. We need to have
her
on every day.
She's the best. I love Lauren.